2 Timothy 2, verses 1 through 7. These are God's words. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men, who will be able to teach others also. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hard-working farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. So far, the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word, in which the apostle is reminding his protege, his son in the faith and in the ministry, that he must be God's man, doing God's work in God's way, depending upon God's grace. He begins by saying, you therefore, my son. This takes us back by the word therefore into the end of chapter 1, where we are reminded that everyone has abandoned Paul and opposed him, except for this Onesiphorus. We'll find out by the end of the book that also Luke is staying true to Paul and John Mark. But largely speaking, the church as a whole has rejected the apostle. And so when he says, you therefore, my son, he's both expressing his confidence that Timothy, having the faith in him, is not going to reject Paul, but consider him as a son considers a father. But he's also warning him that what Paul has endured, Timothy can expect also to endure if he is faithful in the ministry. Faithful ministers should expect from age to age in the church to be a remnant within the church. There are times in God's mercy and pleasure in his providence in which there are renewals and revivals, and the godly multiply for a season. But those are not the seasons for which the scriptures are preparing us, considering the proportion of the instruction that is given. And thus far in God's work, he has not brought such seasons. Rather, as we will hear later, everyone who desires to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. And therefore, he says, you therefore, my son. And this will be comfort to him when he suffers, to remember that he has this in common with his father in the faith, with his father and mentor in the ministry, just as for us, our suffering is something we have in common with Christ. If our master was hated, if our master suffered, shall we really expect to fare better than he did in those things? So he must be God's man. And we know that God will have men because Christ is building his church and the gates of hell are not able to withstand it, which means that there always will be a remnant. There always will be faithful men. An apostle like Paul or a minister like Timothy or we, in whatever age and day we are in, are not at liberty to say, the foundations are destroyed. What can the godly do? Psalm 11 quotes the panicking believer saying, but we must immediately say, the Lord sits enthroned on high in his holy mountain, as Psalm 11 answers that objection. And we know even more by the pouring out of the Spirit, by the initiation of the age of the gospel, by Christ's pledge to build his church, that he will always have a remnant. And so we are not to wonder if there are or will be any faithful. We are to watch for and labor for those who are and those who will become faithful. And so the apostle tells him, the things you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. There is something of an implication here, probably, that the younger men who are not of the generation who have heard, and now most of whom have apostatized, but that there are those who are under Timothy's ministry already, whom the Lord will raise up in faithfulness, because this is the age of the gospel. This is the age of grace. This is the age of the Spirit. This is the age of the building up of the church. And we have our hope in him who has said that he will do it. And so even when there are discouragements of generations that have turned away, we are to look for the faithfulness of God to his word as we labor among the next generation to find those who are faithful, knowing that they won't all be faithful, but watching for those in whom the Lord is working, so that we can especially focus upon them and disciple them, and that they may then arise, these faithful men who, end of verse 2, will be able to teach others also. Some of us are the younger generation, and we should be seeking from the Lord that we would be those with whom grace prevails, that we would be the remnant of the next generation, that we would be those who, as those who are obeying 2 Timothy 2, verse 2, are looking for the faithful ones to whom to entrust the deposit of the gospel, the deposit of the truths of scriptures, that you would be those. And perhaps the Lord blessing a generation, he will multiply you into a great multitude. But if not, if there be few, that you would seek from God that you would be one of those few, because then you must identify the next faithful men and teach them. For this is how the Lord will work in his church. So you must be God's man, and you must be doing God's work. You do not have time to have many daydreams and infatuations with the wonderful things that you will enjoy in this world, and the wonderful things that you will do in this world. Now, the Lord may give you to enjoy much, and you will bless his name for all of those things, and he may give you to have influence with others, and many friends, and high position, and comfort, and ease, and success. He may give you all of those things, but you cannot be in love with those worlds. You cannot entangle yourself with those things. You cannot entangle yourself with going after those things. When he's talking about those who abandoned him in a couple of chapters, he's going to talk about Demas, of whom we read in other places, as a faithful helper in the ministry, and one who receives or gives greetings among the faithful. And yet here Paul is at the end of his ministry, and he's going to write to Timothy and say, Demas, in love with this world, has abandoned us. And that follows immediately after talking about the crown of righteousness that is laid up for those who have loved Christ's appearing. And so you must have Christ's priorities in your life. You may have other earthly vocations. They're not wrong. They're not unholy or wicked to pursue. But your primary role in this world is to know Christ and to make him known, to participate in his church, to be part of the gathering in and building up of the body of Christ, even if you're not an apostle, even if you're not a minister. These are the primary things for the believer in this world, to know Christ in all, even of your earthly vocations, and to make him known as a result of, and often even in the midst of, all of your earthly callings. You're a soldier. You are not to treat your military mission as something that you squeeze in during shore leave. Isn't that what he's describing here? You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So number one, you're a soldier. Don't expect it to be easy. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life. You know, the soldier is not checking his stocks and doing his transactions and, you know, paying attention to all of the other things that, that someone who is not on mission, is able to do. He may, there may be room within whatever, his mission is for those things, but they are secondary, and not to entangle, him and keep him from his mission. So he's God's man, and he is to give himself to do God's work, and he is to give himself to do God's work in God's way. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. You cannot take a shortcut to the finish line. You cannot fake it or cheat. There's no hardship-less, effort-less way to do what God has called you to do in this world. You must take the path that the Lord has assigned, which also means not only doing things the right way, so you don't come up with what church looks like, what missions looks like, what evangelism looks like, and certainly not what worship looks like, but also you do it in God's strength. So we were a soldier, and then we were an athlete, and now we're a farmer in verse 6. The hard-working farmer must be first to partake of the crops. You will not be able to produce many crops for others if you say, you know what, I've got a great idea. I'm going to stop eating so that I have more time to make food. That's the way to get a sick, dead farmer and no food for anybody. And so Christ's way, that the athlete must not try and cheat or depart from or consider himself wiser than the one who established the way of running, Christ's way is for us to be sustained by him in the means of grace first. So that when he says, you therefore, my son, in verse 1, he says, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And so you must depend upon grace. And this depending upon grace comes in two ways, especially through the word and prayer. And that's what we have in verse 7. Consider what I say. Meditate upon the apostolic words. Meditate upon the words from the Holy Spirit. Consider what I say. This is how we partake of the crop first. Whatever it is that God has called you to do in life cannot be done at the expense of your own spiritual well-being. You must meditate upon the Word of God. Feed upon the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ by the words of the Lord Jesus Christ through his servants. So the word first and then prayer second. We have the apostolic prayer in verse 7, and is implied, of course, that this is what Timothy is going to pray for others who are under his ministry, but what he ought to pray also for himself. And may the Lord give you understanding in all things. In other words, just thinking about the Bible is not going to shape our minds to think like the Bible. The Lord has to graciously change the mind so that thinking about the Bible in dependence upon the Lord, who is the Spirit applying it to us, turns that thinking about the Bible into a person who thinks like the Bible. And this is how we have fellowship with Christ, because this is how he does things, through our union with him, by his life in us, by his strength in us, by his goodness in us. And as he shapes our minds to think like he does, so that we live according to the way he thinks and the way that he speaks, we will live more and more in dependence upon the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and we won't try to be strong in our own strength, which is just to say, be strong in weakness, which is nonsense, but the continual attempt of so many of us. But we will be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. So a very timely word, I think, for us, and really for most believers in most seasons in the history of the church. How do you live in a time where even those who seem to be something in the church are turning away from God and turning away from the truth and rejecting his faithful servants Well, you must be God's man, doing God's work, God's way, by God's grace. And you seek that grace and you live by that grace, especially through the word and prayer. May the Lord give us to do so. It's not complex. The Christian life is pretty simple. It is very difficult because of remaining sin and failure to behold and to know the Lord, the triune God. And so let us ask him to help us. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we do pray for your church, that you would bring a season of repentance, revival, and reformation. And yet, O Lord, whatever you do with your church, grant that we would be the faithful of this generation, and that you would use us not only to rear children who will be faithful in the next generation, but to be those who participate in your producing the next generation in the church, and your gathering in and building up of those whom you will keep faithful for the generation that follows. And so we pray that you would help us not to be wise in our own eyes or strong in our own strength, but that you would give us to submit ourselves to the simple means and way that you have designed and instructed your church to operate, trusting your wisdom, and that you would therefore give us to depend upon your strength by your word, to depend upon your strength by prayer, to look to you to shape our hearts and minds so that we not only think about your word, but that we would come to be those who think like your word. Grant it, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen.